tonight. I hope that you've had a good day in the Lord. It is definitely good to have visitors with us on the midweek service. Thank you so much for visiting with us tonight. We're glad that you're here. We're going to be in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 18 tonight. Don't forget, tonight is the deadline for the tickets. They will be buying all the foods tomorrow. So if you want to come to the Valentine banquet on Friday evening, please see Manny or Jerry tonight, one of those two. They're the ones in charge of selling the tickets. And like Brother Jim said, it is for the entire family, not just a couple or husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend. It's for everybody, and you'll enjoy it. You'll have a good time. That's this Friday night, right over here in the Family Life Center, where it will be that. And it's to help our teenagers get to summer camp. So if you help with that, that'd be a blessing. And the flowers and the strawberries. I know some of us are running late on that. But tonight, you need to let them know so they can get those fixed up and picked up for you. John chapter 18, verse 38. Pilate is speaking, and they just spent hours on end questioning the Lord Jesus Christ and bringing up accusations. And at the end of this time, Pilate says in verse 38, he asked a question. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. What is truth? It seems as in our day in which we live that for some reason or another, people believe if they say something long enough and they talk about it long enough, that makes it true. But that is not what makes truth. It's not what makes truth. There is truth in this world. People would have us to believe that the Word of God is not true. That it is a fairy tale. It's a fable. It was put together by just mere men that wrote out a book and put it together, and we call it a Bible. But the Word of God in John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And this is what God testifies about his word, is the Word of God is truth. Truth. So the question is asked by Pilate, what is truth? Well, many of us probably ask the same thing. You know, you watch the news just for a matter of a sit-down afternoon session, and before long, you don't know if what is said is true or not. And so we've had these questions. Raising children, you ask them in many questions, many different ways, trying to figure out what's truth sometimes. What is truth? Well, I can tell you this, dear friend, that we must start with a moral compass, and there's an attack upon the Word of God in our land, an attack in this world on the Word of God. We'll many times take the opinions of others instead of that what is written and settled in heaven, and that is the Word of God, as truth. And Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. If you have spent any time in the secular educational system, especially higher learning, there's a breakdown of what the issues that people have grown up with as they have learned and brought up. They want to destroy it and tear it apart. Their fundamental foundations of belief. And so be very careful that we as a church do not get into a circumstance where we begin to cast doubt upon the Word of God. Because the Bible is truth. It is truth. Here's a wonderful truth that the devil will have you robbed of. And he used many different areas, but if he gets you to doubt the Word of God, he will get you doubting as you read it. The Bible says that we, once we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, in John 1:12, he gives us power to become the sons of God. And he would have you to believe that that is not a biblical truth, that you don't become a son of God. There's a great teaching in the world that all of mankind are the children of God. That is not so, dear friend. Not so at all. You must be born again to be part of the family of God. Now, all are the creation of God. But we're all separated by sin from birth. And matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Psalm that I was conceived in sin. Because that bloodline passed on by one man, sin, disobedience passed unto all men. And so the truth of the matter is that when you are born again, you're given power to become the sons of God. Therefore, you can cry, Abba, Father, and our Father in heaven hears us, and he loves us, and he cares for us. That is a biblical truth. Sanctify them through thy word is truth. So what is truth? We have to understand it is the Word of God that is our foundational truths that we believe in. They're not wavering. Just because we lean one way in society 1 year and 4 or 5 years down the road, we lean another way in society and our ideas are up in the air, whether this is true, that is true, that does not determine truth. That is opinions. One man's opinion is no greater truth than another man's opinion. So what is truth? We as a church, God's people, we need to understand that the Word of God is truth. Also in John 17:17, there's something else that truth does. The Bible says there in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The truth of the Word of God will sanctify you, will cleanse you. The psalmist said in 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And how's the way? What does it say? By the Word of God. By the law. By the testimony. I would encourage you, if you don't have a Bible reading time or program time where you go through the Bible systematically on your own, study the Bible, Psalms chapter 119 is a wonderful place just to simply start. Because there's every verse talks about the statutes, the Word of God, the law, the judgments of God, and the whole chapter, every verse, verse by verse, gives us something about the Word of God. So the Word of God is truth, and if it is truth, according to John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. If the Word of God is truth, there is some cleansing. We got to understand, dear people, that we as God's children, if we are in Christ, old things pass away, all things become new. There's a washing and regeneration that takes place in our lives. We should not be the same when God moves in upon salvation. There should be a change in our lives. There should be a gradual growth as we grow because we take on a divine nature from above. And we should be pure because God is pure and be holy because God is holy. Not because we're holy, but because He's holy. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags, but once we've been born again and we read and study the Word of God, the Word of God begins to cleanse us and sanctify us and begins to cause us to think different because it causes our hearts to have a different emotional outcome and on things and an outlook on life. And it begins to set us on a pathway that brings us closer to God. And the closer we get to God, the further we're going to get away from this world. Because the Bible teaches us not to love this world because the things of this world are not of God. So there's a sanctification that takes place as you get into the Word of God. You have an understanding. As Pilate said, what is truth? Preacher's telling you the Word of God is true. God says the Word of God is true. Don't take my word on it. God said it. The Word of God is truth. And so as you study it, it begins to change your lives. Not us, not as a church. Because I'm telling you, if you just do what a church does, and it's not according to Scripture, you'll get tired and wore out real fast. But if you live your life according to Scripture, you'll be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And so, what is truth? The Word of God is true. And as you study it, the proof of it that it's true, it begins to sanctify you and begins to cleanse you and begins to set you apart. You are a peculiar people. And so you got to be, you're different. So what is truth? The Word of God, as we looked at John 17, 17. And then it begins to show itself alive in our lives by changing us day by day. Look over in John chapter 3. John chapter number 3. Verse number, I think around 19 or so. Everybody knows John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The Word of God begins to cleanse you. It begins to show you and help sanctify you. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, says the psalmist. But look at verse number 21. But he that doeth truth, not he that just knoweth. There's too many of us that know Scripture, but they're just, it's just here. They're not doers of the Word, as James says. The Bible says here, but he that doeth truth, listen to what it says, cometh to life. You've got to live out your Christianity. People need to see that the Word of God is truth to you. This whole world needs to see that you are the salt and light of the world, that there is a difference about you, not because you're somebody, because we're a bunch of nobodies trying to tell somebody about the great God of heaven who loves them. And they need to see that the Word of God is real in our lives, not that we speak with our lips and our hearts are far from God. He that doeth truth, then there's life there. Amen. It's a great difference, dear friend, than knowing. You remember I told you we were spectators this past weekend. We talked about being spectators and not involved. Listen. When the Word of God is true to you, it should bring a natural, God-given, divine pause in what you do day by day. It should give you a red flag of, wow, this is not right. Why am I, as God's child, even involved or even listening or even around such as this? Why am I contemplating these things? Because if we do not have a solid foundation, whereas the Word of God is the standard, and we set the standard up of society, of culture, of family traditions, and we don't compare it to Scripture, we are setting ourselves up of building upon sand. And when the storms of life comes, it will knock us apart and knock us down. But when we have a solid foundation, that solid foundation is the Word of God. And when you have that truth and you live in that truth, it begins to change you. And as it changes you, it begins to bring you closer and closer to light, because He is light. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, if you read this here and understand what it's saying, if you spend a whole lot of time around the things of this world and the darkness of this world, dear friend, you are not living in truth. Why do we not want to live in truth? For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. What reproves us? The Word of God. How do we know what is right and what is wrong as God's children? It's the foundations that we live our life on. It's the Word of God. So the Word of God is absolute. It's truth. God said, let every man be a liar and God be true. He said, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. I'm about... Sometimes, I don't even know how to say that nice. I'm tired of preachers, men of God, casting doubt upon the Word of God. And then complaining about why their congregations are not growing holier. Well, you just told them that there's doubt in there. So if there's doubt in John, if there's doubt in 1 John, if there's doubt in 2 Timothy, then there's got to be doubt all throughout the Scripture. I'm not saying we live it constantly. No man becomes sinless. No preacher, no deacon, no song leader, no Sunday school teacher, no layman, no church member ever reaches sinlessness. But dear friend, when we live in the Word, it begins to change us. And we begin to walk in light. Because we don't want to be in this darkness and evilness of the world. Because the Word of God reproves us that we should not be there. Look at John 8. John 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth. Your friend, greatest victories in your life will come when you hide the Word of God in your heart, and your heart smites you. And says to you, that is not what a child of God should be doing. It gives you that power. Man shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The truth. It sets you free. You don't have to be like the old sow that runs back to the slop pen. You don't have to be like the old dog that runs back and licks its vomit up. You don't have to return to bondage. You don't have to be like the Galatians who started out well and Paul had to write back and said, who bewitched you? You can live victorious in this present world if you walk in the Spirit and you live by the Spirit. I'm not telling you this world doesn't have a draw. The other day we were coming back from school and Kinley was talking with me and said that she hadn't been sleeping well, and she began to tell me that it was because we had a full moon. So I said, well, you're not a werewolf, so I don't know why that would bother you. So she had to tell me. She began to read and show me in science where they've proven that as the moon gets closer and passes closer in the fullness thereof, there's a greater pull of gravity. I guess they know what they're talking about. I'm not a part of NASA. She read on and said that as the fullness of the moon is at its greatest point, the waters and the waves move on the earth according to the gravitational pull. Well, what are we as humans made up? A portion of us are... In fact, I've got about 122 pounds of water in me sometimes. Like, you know, I feel like a waterbed sometimes. You got that in that translation system, Miriam, just then, huh? That was good. Mary Hart doth us so well. It does. But it you know, we're talking about, you know, the pull of the world. Listen, this world has a pull on this. This old man can rise up at any moment. It has a natural pull. It has a natural desire, a natural appetite for the things of the world. That's why we cannot be feeding the flesh. We must feed the Spirit. Well, how are we going to feed the Spirit? Through the Word of God. And it begins to set us free. There is freedom in Christ. We have liberty in Christ. This whole world and even some of our religious institutions tells us that the Word of God is a bondage to God's people. We're under grace. Well, I will have you to study out grace. And the New Testament is full of grace. And when Jesus talked about grace, He tightens the screws down upon those that have the Spirit of God living in us. In so much that not only is fornication and adultery wrong, but the absolute thought in our heart is as sin. That's where we live in grace. So we have a natural pull, but the truth shall set us free. What's the truth? That I am God's child. Just that truth. That simple truth that we read about there in the beginning. Or we talked about in the beginning. That I am God's child. When I mess up, He loves me. When I'm on the mountaintop, He loves me. When I'm in the valley, He's walking through the valley of the shadow of death with me. When I'm in the midst of an argument with my children, with my spouse. When I'm almost about to lose my job because I didn't do a good job at work. He still loves me. He doesn't want me in an argument with myself. He wants me to do a good job. He tells us to do things right, even for an employer that is lost. He wants us to do right, but it doesn't change His love for us. And if we have doubt on the Word of God, then these truths cannot be effective in our lives. But the Holy Spirit, now listen, dear friend, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. He's your comforter. He's your guide. And when this world, or somebody in this world says you're worthless and you're a nobody, you'll never obtain, you'll never make, listen, Jesus Christ gave His blood for you. You were so worthy of His love that He gave His only begotten Son that you might be His child. You are somebody. And these truths set us free. And they help us along the way. Pastor, I don't even know where to begin. I tell you where to begin. John 14:6 is a good place. Sometimes we limit that to only to salvation. But He said, when Jesus said, I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. We need to get into it. Look at it. Jesus. Jesus lived in this world. Can you imagine with me for a moment? You think just for a moment, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about it. You can find forgiveness. But you think of the worst day of your life that you lived in wickedness. For some of us, it ain't going to be bad. Some of us, it's pretty awful. You know it. If you had the courage and boldness to stand up, you know it. Do you understand that God gave up His heavenly body? Took an earthly body to live on this earth among sinful men. That's what the Bible says, that God was manifest in the flesh. Live on this earth among sinful men. To love men, to minister to men and women, to raise up dead men and women, to heal blind men and women, to heal the sick, in many cases the lame, and to feed the hunger, and to only have them crucified. And on the cross of Calvary, He could have said, forget it. But as a lamb laid to the slaughter, because He loved you. And the truth is that God came and took our place. These are truths, dear friend, that we only find in an absolute Word of God. And we've got to quit asking these questions. Well, I don't even know what truth is. How do we know that it's true? It's the only book that has men and women have been burned at the stake for. You find me another book in this world that has been banned in many, many, many different countries. Find me a book that they would actually lock it to a pulpit in the old days so that people couldn't carry it home. I guarantee you it wasn't the inquiring minds wanting to know. The Word of God. The Word of God. It's been preserved and translated and given out, and it's made a difference in the lives of people. People that had never had a Bible before was taking Bibles by missionaries and church planters around the world and rejoiced just to have a portion of Scripture. Why? Because it is His story to us. What is true? Jesus is true. And Jesus said His Word is true. We can't enjoy it, this Christian life. Don't allow people to teach you or say to you that, well, you're just living on a crutch. You can't have no fun living that away. Their fun is but for a season. Their pleasure is just for a little while. Well, it's great joy in Christ Jesus. Great joy. Let's stand to our feet. What is true? The Word of God is true. We know it's true because it begins to sanctify us. It brings us closer and closer to the light. It enlightens us. It reveals more truth as we stick in the Word of God. It begins to set us free bit by bit, little by little, from different issues in the Word of God. It shows us, hey, you can have victory in anger issues. You can have victory in jealousy anger issues. You can have victory if he that stole, the Bible says, let him steal no more. There's victory. But it comes from believing that God's Word is true. That He is the great physician. He is the healer. He is the potter on the clay. That we are broken people. And He is the creator. And will make your life something that you could never, ever, ever, ever imagine. Father, we love You. We thank You so much that we have truth. Your Word. God, we ask You, Lord, to help us to base our lives and that the direction of our lives and the things that we get involved in, may we compare it to Scripture. Lord, help us to understand that You loved us so much that You not only gave Yourself on the cross of Calvary, suffered shame far beyond we could ever imagine, died and was buried, rose again. But You have preserved Your Word for us to study, to read, to live by. God, help us in this day and age where there's a great famine for the Word of God, that we, Your children, Your people, would hunger and thirst for Scriptures and righteousness therein, that we may live out our faith in this old world. In Jesus' name, amen. Bus riders, please come quickly. Don't